Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omeka 7 live here coming to you straight from my studio. So how are the children and how is the village doing this evening? I hope that and trust that you're doing fine. I'd like to say welcome to our new friends and Habari Ghani to our old friends. Ladies and gentlemen, we've finally reached that place, that final week. The ending date, the last day of the week. That's right, it's our kick it up day. You should have known that I was coming to you to tell you that it is our kick it up day. We wait for this day to come around, ladies and gentlemen. We made it through the hump day. This is the final day of the week for us. Ladies and gentlemen, we like to welcome you. We know that your time is valuable and there's many places that you could have frequented other rooms and been other places, but we're glad you're here to join us today. And we want to say, because we're the Care to Read Room, we fashion ourselves around a family consumer science. We want to cover all self-help materials that might help you in the way of rearing your children, developing self-help for your individual relationships, your marriages, your courtships. We're just trying to be your family in the absence of the teaching of African American teaching and understanding your culture and heritage. We want you to understand that it's very important that we do rituals so we can keep the traditions in our family. We are not just doing traditions of our father, but we're trying to pass on new traditions of libation pouring and acknowledging our ancestors. Why don't you step on over to the Care to Read room with me as we pour our libations for our family members? We don't want to forget about them. They're the sum total of why we came. They bring us the strength that we need to help encompass us back into a family of many connected vessels. So as we pour our libation, we want to give homage to our mother spirit, our yeye. Can you say yeye with me? Our mother spirit is our yeye, and our baba is our father spirit. Yesterday I did a special reading. Because time was so close upon us, I didn't even get a chance to give you the reading. Now, I indicated earlier that I was going to give a reading for the nation, not just individual readings. Now, because it's Friday, I want to honor that request and statement that I made. I would like to give you the interpretation of the reading. The reading and the divination was done yesterday. This is a reading that I had taken for the nation to receive. I have had the same reading come up twice already in my own personal reading. Now, whether it's meant for me or for the nation, I'm going to give it to you either way. And I'm going to do that right after we pour the libation and give a dedication to our higher self, which is Akamare. Can you say Akamare? That is the three manifestations of God, Oromala, Olurum, and Elede. And as you know, we carry Ori on our head. Ori is the spirit that stays with us, the Godhead that we collaborate with that can never leave us. Let us now pay homage to Oladulamare. We pour libations to Oladulamare in the honor of Akamare. We like to pour libations to Obatala, my father's spirit. Drink well, Father. I like to pour libation to the woman, the lady of the lake, the ocean, the river, Yamenja. We say Yamenja, still water runs deep. I like to pour libations to the north and call all of our ancestors present here today. Shekes Diops, will you stand and be accounted for? Dr. John Henry Clark, will you stand and be accounted for? Dr. Ben Yokin, stand and be accounted. Dr. Carruthers, stand and be accounted. Dr. Martin Luther King and Sweet Coretta, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Chicken BF, will you stand and be accounted as we pour libation here today? We pour libation to the north and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the south and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the east and we say Ashe. We pour libation finally to the west, and we say Ashe. May the water that hits the ground take up root and spring up and grow in the hearts of the many men and women who are present here today. It is my prayer and hope that each and every one of your household present here today will have a change of heart and understand what self-help means. To be self-reliant and responsible for your own lifestyle. If you are to have good success, you are to acknowledge your Ori, the Godhead that sits on your head. If you are to have prosperity, you are to acknowledge your Ori and pay homage. We declare that the families that are present here today will take this ritual, incorporate it into their lifestyle, and do it periodically in remembrance of our ancestors who made their transition, in remembrance of each and every one of our biological parents. And I call Clara Jenkins today to be present, and Robert Jenkins, my biological mother and father. And I ask you to call forth your mother and father and light a candle for your mother and father. I light a candle for Clara today that she may have clarity and light to find her way. I light a candle for Robert today that he might see his way home and reconnect himself to the family. It is my prayer and my desire that we all come into consciousness and knowledge, not necessarily at the same time, but we come into awareness of who we are and know thyself, so that as we understand ourselves, it would help us better understand those around us. Father God, protect us. Put your hedge around us. There are many that lurk outside trying to entrap us in falsehood and lies and in the window. But Father, you have sent the Holy Spirit that nothing should slip upon us, that all things will be brought to remembrance. May you bring all things to remembrance, and nothing will slip upon us, and nothing by all means can hurt us. If we drink a strong drink that may be corrupted or poisoned, it will not harm us. Father, you're protecting us with the hedges, and not only protecting us from hedges, we can't be penetrated. And Father, I thank you today that your people are set aside and they will not be harmed because you will watch over your word to perfect it. Now, those of you who are being incarcerated and those of you who are being pursued, may God put the hedges up around you so none will be able to penetrate. There are many of us that those evil ones would like to snare and get us caught up into falsehoods and in the window. Father, those leaders, protect them, set them aside for your good use. And may the people know that you are showing us favor, Father. And may they rally around us when they see the way we love one another, Lord. And may they understand that it's you who have shown us favor. And once you have shown us favor, no man can touch your anointing and do your prophet no harm. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the audience today and the momentum that is rising and the following and the connection of the people that are coming to hear. Father, may my voice be anointed to preach and to teach the things that you have equipped me to say. And Father, I give my vocal cords over to you, and I render my vocal cords to you for usage and your good purpose. Now may I be obedient in the way of God, and may I follow the path of our father, of David and Jacob and Abraham, all of those people that may have passed and you use, Father. I pray that you will use us in a like manner. I pray that we will show that ourselves we are honorable in your sight, Father. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on thee do I wait, and on thee do I beseech for help. Guide me on the path of righteousness, not on the path who have fallen off the path and gone the wrong way. Guide me on the path of a righteous woman, a woman that you have called your ambassador, Father. And let no harm come to me and my family. Put your hedges up around us as we fight for truth and righteousness and justice. You will always favor our family, and we will be your ambassadors to do your work. And we say that God has the glory in all that we do. Ladies and gentlemen, you are to pray in like manners for your family. You are to meditate and chant and find a mantra that you can utilize on a daily basis when you can't find the hours to pray. Always send a behavior modification. A prayer is nothing but a behavior modification. It is there to change things. And the prayers of a fervent and righteous man will avail us much. So my prayers will avail us much today. And they will not return unto me void, but they will accomplish that which is intended. Now, we pray that each and every one of you who have found your way through the belly of the whale will find purpose in this earth and be on your mission and on purpose and find a way where you can serve, and not only serve, but to the least of them that you do good to, you have done that good to the Creator. Now, Father, we know that Jesus is that black man called Oromola. We know the true name for him. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he has all inception, and he knows the inception of man. He knows the inception of disease and also the cure. There are no disease that Oromola has not examined nor had the cure for. So if there be one sick among us, we ask that Oromola be consulted for a cure. We ask that Oromola be called upon to give us indication of our reading and give us all clarity. Now, I'd like to tell you what the reading was about that was done on the divination. The reading came back Obare, Obare. And it's a Yoruba name, which you might not understand, Meji Obare. Say that with me. Meji obare. Meji obare. Meji obare. Meaning good fortune. Those who have an ear to hear, meaning that they will understand. The three pumpkins that were given, the pumpkins were insignificant, but they were used as a metaphor to allow people to understand that God can take insignificant things and make them rich and royalty. This man was given these pumpkins to take home and to serve his family with it. And his wife looked upon the pumpkins as if they were insignificant and that they had no purpose and shoved them back to the husband, just as the three men that were given these pumpkins did the same thing. The moral of the story is that the man that had faith in the pumpkins took the pumpkins and opened them, and therein lies he found riches, gold, riches, and diamonds. And these were insignificant things that he had in his life that he was utilizing to make money from. And in essence, what this story was telling the whole world is that the most insignificant, foolish thing that we have looked over will be the thing that will confirm the wise. Just as we look at African people as being insignificant, having no purpose, and serving their full purpose, and at this point have no real need here in the United States, the insignificant one will confirm the wise. So the moral of the story for the nation is, do not be so quick to take the insignificant and look over it, and don't open your eyes so that you can't see the gifts of royalties that are in them. It is a foolish thing that will confirm the wise. In other words, we ought not to be looking for some great, spectacular thing that will happen. It will be the insignificant thing that you least expect that will bring about peace in this land and that will bring about opportunities in this land. And what I'm saying is that because African Americans have suffered so much and gone through so much and have been the pinnacle where others have climbed over their back to get to the top, and the excuse for some not being able to serve and also being utilized as victims and persecuted in prisons, they have been the scorned ones, and we have been the scorned ones. They're insignificant in some eyes, you would think. But those are the ones who would confirm the wise. Thus said the Spirit. Thus said the Spirit. Normally I don't give readings, but I felt a need to give this reading for the nation, because something is about to come up on us, people. Something is about to come up on us. The prison systems and the way that they have been orchestrated will have to be reworked. The madness will have to be reworked. How long can you lock up a people? How long can you imprison a people? How long can you see a people being guilty? How long can you take human flesh and blood and allow it to become animalistic? Not very long before the end and time come. We are rolling up on the year of 2019, which is the year of 400 years of being out of slavery, approximately probably 440 years of being out of slavery. That year is so significant for African Americans, and that you should plot that on your calendar. That is the year that we look at what have we done with our freedom, what have we done with these 400 years now that we are claiming to be free. Have we bettered ourselves in the academic or academia arena? Have we found more places in the workforce that we are now working in that we didn't work in before? Have we taken control of our lifestyles? Have we become self-reliant? These are the things that are going to be looking at in the Atlantic slave movement after the 400 years. Everyone is looking at what is about to happen as we look back over our shoulders as the Sankofa bird does and look for the transition of what has happened after the 400 years of slavery. I'm going to leave that to you to marinate on, because Project 2019 stands for looking back at what we've done with those years and now what we plan to do with educating ourselves to become a better informed people. In the past, we've looked at the situation where blacks were not allowed to read. This room was named the Care to Read Room, giving you empowerment where you once were incarcerated or imprisoned or killed for reading. Now you have the liberty of reading. My question is, will you care to read? Will you pick a book up? And will you empower your children and yourself with the legacy of literacy? Will you begin to stay informed? Because when that 400-year roll up, the documentation will go forth how many people have now become academians and obtained college degrees. At one time, it was not heard of that African Americans could go to school, let alone get credentials for degrees. So we find ourselves in a position where we can access education. That door will soon be closed because of the fact Pell Grants, as well as scholarships and loans, will eventually evaporate. And Obama has tried to make something possible for those lonely students who are paying out high percentages of their student loans. He's trying to fix the interest rate and give a lower interest rate so that these young people won't come out with loans that they cannot afford to pay back. That's why it's guaranteed, because they figure the government will pay back one or the other, or they'll go in and they will extract it from your paychecks. So it's very important we understand what this 400 years mean. And is it a time for blacks to rally and puff themselves up with pride because we've come out of slavery? Or is it a time for us to reexamine what are the things that are still left to be done that we have to handle? We must handle our business. We must go forward and handle our business and clean ourselves up. We have to go in the house and clean ourselves up and get ourselves straight so that we might be able to lean back and pull somebody else up by the bootstrap. This room has been dedicated to African Americans because we are the ones who have been looked over, who have been treated with biases, and who have not had opportunities that other races have had. There are people still here in this United States on probation to become white, and they have a choice to check the box other. They do not have to check mulatto or black. So therefore, they have been put on probation to become white, meaning they will have the inalienable rights that all men and women should have had. However, black African Americans have not had the opportunities that some mulattoes or other whites have had. So therefore, coming up on the rough side of the mountain would mean that we would be more appreciative with this year of 400 years of coming out of slavery should mean to us. It is a monumental time that Project 2019 will be celebrating and other people around the world, hopefully. I want you to understand that during the process of waiting for this time to roll up on us, we are to occupy until the time comes. In the meantime, I'd like for you to get more voters out voting, more people registered to vote. There are brand new laws that just came out on the book that you should know about. And I'm interrupting these airwaves. Normally I would have taken you right into the reading of the storytelling, but today I want to go on a serious, more serious note. There are so many forces out there working to take away our rights to the right to vote, and people have died. During the women's suffrage movement, the right to vote was an issue for the white Caucasian woman, and there was an amalgamation of the white women aligning themselves with the struggle of the slaves. So we in turn had a problem where white women were losing gain with their rights to vote as we were losing gain with becoming full-fledged citizens. Now someone wants to suppress the opportunity for a lot of people to vote, and you ought to be aware there are some eligibility rights for you to vote now. They're even looking at making sure that the college students in some particular state schools will not be allowed to use their state license to vote, their school license to vote. They will have to have a state license to vote. They cannot use their school ID in some states. You have to find out which state you're in and which is applicable. That means that they will have to go get a state license. Now, let me just verbalize some of the things that we've been talking about and working with Obama. And the question is, are you eligible to vote? Number one, you need to know this. In order to be eligible to register to vote, and this is a document that has been printed by Obama's office, in order to be eligible, ladies and gentlemen, to register to vote, you must be a citizen of the United States, and I quote, be at least 18 years old on the day of the next general municipal or special election. C, have lived in your precinct for at least 30 days before the next general municipal or special election, exception for certain military voters. D, currently be in and not be currently in prison after being convicted of a crime. Convicted felons who are no longer in prison can vote. Convicted felons, it says, who are no longer in prison can vote. Now, there's some states that are doing that. Let me read that again. Not currently be in prison after being convicted of a crime. Convicted felons who are no longer in prison can vote. Now, that is a law. So if you've been a convicted felon and you're no longer in prison, some of the states are allowing you to vote. You need to find out about that. Are you registered to vote is another question. Are you? Are you registered to vote? And it says you can register to vote online at http://, and you put your state in there, voters.com. And you can register right online. You must have a valid photo ID in order to vote. And I quote, your photo ID must meet four criteria to be acceptable for voting purposes. It must display your photo, number A. B, display your name, and the name must conform to your voter's registration record. Conform does not mean identical. Number C, display an expiration date and either be current or have expired sometime after the date of the last general election, November 2nd, 2010. And it says including military, okay, IDs with expiration dates of INDEF. Now, D, be issued by the state of wherever you're living at in the United States government. In most cases, a blank driver's license, whatever your state is, Indiana, Illinois, driver's license, and a photo ID, the military ID or U.S. passport is sufficient. Now, every state is not following this. You have to find out your state regulation. A student ID in Indiana, for example, state school may be used if it meets all of the four criteria specific above. And this is for Indiana, ladies. Now, you have to look, ladies and gentlemen, for your state. A student ID from a private institution may not be used for voting purposes. For more information, you need to call your college and ask questions. If you are unable or unwilling to present an ID meeting these requirements, you may not cast a provisional ballot. If you cast a provisional ballot, you have until noon and 10 days after the election to follow up with the county election board and either provide the necessary documentation or affirm one of the laws the exempt applies to you. So you have to follow those laws. Now, here lies other issues. Where can I get the necessary free identification? You can, and I quote, if you do not possess an ID that is acceptable for voting purposes, the BND, this is in your state, must issue an Indiana or whatever state ID card for free to obtain a free ID card for voting purposes from any BND license branch. You will need to apply the necessary documentation and explain on the BND secured ID documentation list website or print of the documentation required. The flyer to take with you to the BND, you want to print that off. You may also contact your state voters hotline, and you should find your state voters hotline and get that number. We have one here for Indiana. And that is 1-866-IN-1-VOTE, V-O-T-E, or BMV at 1-877-MY-MY-BMV-411. This is for Indiana, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in another state or country, you want to make it applicable and find out what your number is. When does your license expire? Millions of driver's licenses are due to expire, ladies and gentlemen, and I repeat, millions of them during 2012, the year of the next general election. Don't be caught without valid IDs when you go to the vote. Check the expiration date today and make a plan to renew your license if you are under 70 years of age. You can renew online. Now, how many of you elderly are functioning where you're online and can see well enough to go online to do this? You ought to go into your churches, into your places of employment, your friends, your children, your grandchildren, and let them know you're going to need help with registering online if you're over the age of 40. And there's a website, http://www, and this is for Indiana, of course, .in.gov/bmv/3017.htm. That's for Indiana. Now, you have to look up your state and plug in the appropriate state. And look for renew driver's license on the right-hand side. So, in other words, if your driver's license is due to expire before 2012, you need to go in and do the proper registration so you can be eligible to vote. And there should be somebody on site to allow you to register. But you must, there's a petition that's going. There's somebody on site to allow you to sign up for the petition. But you must have been registered to vote. And any changes in your address, you can make those changes right there at the poll if they have the documentation there for you to make corrections on your address or anything that may have changed. So there's laws that are being changed all over the state, and each state is different. But you want to be alerted to the ID and proper showing of the ID so you won't get to the voting booth and find out that you are not properly an official and ready to vote because of ID expiration. Those elderly people, you want to do extra things to make sure that at the churches, I implore you to get involved so that you are registering these elderly, our precious elderly, do not want to lose the right to vote because they're elderly people and over the age of 70. You want to properly get them registered and renewing their license. And there is an opportunity to receive those new IDs free of charge in most BMVs. You can check that out. I just recently left an Obama meeting to make sure that this information got on the air today, and I gave my word that I would push this information as much as possible in the churches and on the airwaves. So we want to get prepared for that next election in May that's coming up. There's been a lot of time lapsed here with this special election where we could have gotten a lot of people registered and had most of this done. But nevertheless, it still needs to be done, and we need to caution people not to be dismayed or frustrated and argumentative when they get to the polls and find that these things are necessary and need to have been done prior to coming to the voting booth. So, in honor of helping Obama to get on the election board, he has to get on the ballot. And people need to understand that there needs to be petitions signed to get him on the ballot, and it's very important that you get out and get registered, and if you want to sign a petition, sign that to help him get on the ballot. It's very important that we understand that the right of the vote is something that we had to fight for, and people are going to have to keep fighting for that right to vote because there are forces that would like to take away your rights. And slowly but surely, some of the rights are being taken away by asking for the documentation. And if you're not able to show it or prove it, you don't have the right to vote. And I read you off verbatim what was given to me for our effort to get out there and push for people to get prepared for this new election. This is going to be a very, very special election. You all should want to vote. You young people that are 17 years old, there's some special language that is put in the writing that if you are 17 before the election date, you ought to find out from your schools what gives you the right to vote. If you're 17 before the election date, are you eligible to vote? Contact your voters registration and find out. We want to register as many new youth as possible. Now that you're young, gifted, and black, you need to qualify your vote and make sure you ensure your right to vote, because there's so many young people being left behind that could have been voting who were 17 prior to the election. There's some verbiage that you need to learn about. Go to your social studies teacher, talk to your voters registration, go to the courthouse and inquire, how can I vote? I'll be 17 come May. Am I eligible? What are the necessary things I need to do to register? Number one, get registered. And parents, get your 17-year-olds out there who meet those criteria and get them signed up to vote. This is a very important election. Everyone wants to exercise their rights, and everyone wants to know that they had input. And it's very important that you select the candidate of your choice. And you have to understand that many people died for this opportunity. And many people are turning over in their graves right now because some of them went to their grave fighting to get the right to vote. And I don't know how many of you have seen the story of Miss Jane Pittman, but she cast her ballot to vote and made it a national thing, which made a national history in our history books. We're going to have to keep history alive, and by pressing forward to eliminate so many of these rules that may be agitative and cause problems at the poll. We don't want any problems at the poll. We don't want people fighting and being cross with each other. We don't want any unnecessary blows being thrown, because you make that right blow when you punch your level to vote, and you use your right to vote is when you use your power, not with your fist. Meet your brother with an open hand so that your brother and sister will know that you're casting a ballot for things to be changed and not for the same thing to be happening, war all over the place and rumors of war. We want to cut down on the disharmony and bring about peace in this land. And you know the Bible said when someone says there's peace, peace, there is no peace. But the only way you can bring about peace, you personally must step up to the ballot and take your right to vote. And don't let people tell you of the misconceptions of the candidates that are running. You make your choice. Don't judge people by the personal attitudes they have, but judge people by the content of their character and what they're capable of doing for this nation. This nation has got to make a turnaround. There's too many people in turmoil and too many people in a collapsing situation in a world that should be going upward, but yet it is collapsing. So we are looking for our nation to pull itself together And it can't do that unless it has rightful people standing behind the polls with the right attitude to work together for change. And what we're finding now, there are political people who are in office that are corrupted and that are doing incredible things. And yet we have to unlift the covers and expose them, because sometimes they're trying to tie you up and tie your hands up. Be familiar with the law. Nobody wants to be a felon. And all those felons who have served their time must have their day in court and their opportunity to come out and vote. We can't make those people pay twice. Give them an opportunity. Show them the way how to get prepared to vote if it's their first time. A lot of felons have served their time, and they want their right to vote, and they want to be able to come back to society to give something back. This is our opportunity of helping those felons give something back. We can't prosecute them twice. And must a man be charged twice for the same crime, or can we help those young people who are coming out for the first time with a felon and voting? And I stress that because I wanted those felons to know they may find it strange and question, is it true, is it true? And also for those felons who had been out of prison and had the felon on their record for over 15 years, they were able to expunge their records, or not necessarily expunge, to clear the record so that only the legal and law officials could see their records and those employees could not. The laws have just been changed here in the state of Indiana. I don't know about other states, but here in Indiana, they've now moved the numbers down to 8 years if you have not had an infraction on your record, that in 8 years you can have that infraction removed to not being expunged, but only to the point of police officials and people from the court system seeing it, but the employers will not be able to see it. So you will have a second chance of being able to be employable.